صلوا على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم صل على. ثانية على حب الحسن والحسين. اللهم صل على محمد. على حب فاطمة الزهراء الثالثة بأعلى أعلى أصواتكم. اللهم صل. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على خاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين. ولعنة الله على أعدائهم ومنكر فضائلهم من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. Respected elders, brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. For those of you who've been attending the nightly lectures, the theme of our discussion is the three kings, specifically Talut, Dawud, and Sulaiman. These are three prominent kings who are mentioned in the Quran. And as I mentioned in the previous nights, the reason why I chose these personalities is because many of us might not be familiar with what a godly ruler looks like. Especially when you look around the world today, the overwhelming majority of those who have power are corrupt and they abuse the authority that they have. So in this series, we're reflecting on good leaders, leaders who understood the responsibility that they were given and who were able to fulfill their role and exercise their power with wisdom and compassion. And we spoke about Talut, and we've been speaking for a few nights about Dawud alayhi salam. Tonight, what I'd like to do is I'd like to speak about a particular event, an incident that took place during the life of Dawud alayhi salam. You see, brothers and sisters, one of the accusations that is sometimes leveled against the Quran by its detractors is that the Quran is a book that contains anti-Semitic verses. And one of the stories that is referenced as an example of anti-Semitism in the Quran is the story of the Sabbath breakers. And inshallah, this will be the focus of our discussion tonight. There's an ayah in the Quran in Surah Al-Ma'idah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He tells us about Dawud alayhi salam, and specifically his relationship and what he did of the Sabbath breakers. So in Surah Al-Ma'idah, Surah number 5, Ayah 78, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, لُعِنَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ عَلَى لِسَانِ دَاوُودِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, those who rejected among the children of Israel, they were cursed by the tongue of Dawud alayhi salam. Now, of course, Bani Israel, they were not kuffar in the sense that they rejected the existence of God. They are kuffar in the sense, in this instance, in the sense that they rejected and were heedless of certain commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this ayah is a reference to the Sabbath breakers. When certain members of Bani Israel violated the Sabbath, Dawood alayhi salam sent his la'na upon them. He condemned them. And this is interesting because when you look at this ayah, you have a prophet of God doing la'na upon a community for ignoring a commandment of God. And this makes you wonder why some Muslims find it problematic when we send la'na upon the killers of Imam al-Hussein. If Dawood alayhi salam sends la'na upon certain members of Bani Israel for not upholding the Sabbath, then what is a greater violation of God's law? Violating the Sabbath or spilling the blood of the family of the Prophet? Now, we have a narration from Imam al-Baqir, salawatullahi alayhi, Allahumma sallam. Imam al-Baqir, he says, Amma Dawood فَإِنَّهُ لَعَنَا أَهْلَ أَيْلَ Imam al-Baqir, he says, as for David, he sent damnation upon the people of Ayla. And the people of Ayla is a reference to the Sabbath breakers. It's a town, and we'll speak about this. لَمَّا اَعْتَدَوْا فِي سَبْتِهِمْ وَكَانَ اَعْتِدَاؤُهُمْ فِي زَمَانِهِ Dawood, he sent la'na upon the Sabbath breakers when they violated the Sabbath, and this incident took place during the time of Dawood. Now, since this happened during the time of Dawood, I felt that it would be beneficial for us to reflect on the verses of the Quran that relate to the breaking of the Sabbath. Now, during the time of Dawood, of course, the empire of Dawood was quite vast. And there were certain members of the children of Israel who had settled near the Red Coast Sea. And the town that they settled in was called Ayla. And the people of that town, because they were close to the sea, naturally many of them, they took on fishing. They were fishermen. And the majority of them were quite well off because of how much fish they were able to extract from the sea. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, during the time of Dawood, He decided to test this community. So what happened was, in the Sharia of Musa, one of the laws in the Sharia of Musa is that the Jews were forbidden from fishing on Saturday. In fact, we have a narration from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi. Where he said, Musa ja'a bitahrim sayd al-hitan yawm as-sabt. That it was Musa who introduced the prohibition of fishing on Saturday. Now Dawood alayhi salam, yes, he is a prophet. And inshallah tomorrow night we'll speak about the revelation of the Zabur. But Dawood was not presenting a new Sharia. The Jews, the Israelites, they were all bound to the Sharia of Musa. So Dawood was upholding the law of Musa. So the law of Musa dictated that they're not allowed to fish on Saturday. So what did they do? The Quran tells us, and inshallah we'll speak about this in more detail. Now several of them, what happens is that Monday through Friday, suddenly what happens is the Monday through Friday, there's no fish. In the past, they used to fish throughout, every day fish was available. Suddenly, there is no fish Monday through Friday. only on Saturday there are schools of fish that pass by. So Monday through Friday, no fish. And on Sunday, there's no fish. The only day where fish is available is on Saturday, the day of the Sabbath. And according to religious law, they're not allowed to fish. Now, several of them were not able to resist the temptation. This was a lucrative business for them. So they decided to come up with a plan. They started to play games with the laws of Allah. So they said to themselves, let us put our fishing nets on Friday evening, right before the Sabbath begins. We'll put the fishing nets, and then on Sunday, we'll catch all the fish that were captured by the net. So technically, we didn't fish on Saturday. They were trying to manipulate the laws of God. You know, technically, we're not fishing, right? Just like today, you know, and by the way, if you look at what Israel does today, we're not targeting civilians, because the law of Musa says we have to respect civilian life. We are targeting terrorists, and these innocent civilians are just collateral damage. So technically, we're not killing innocent people. It's the same mentality. Playing around with the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the story tells us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala severely punished them for their violation of this covenant. And Allah Azza wa Jal, if you look at the ayat, the verses seem to suggest that Allah ordered them to become apes. He transformed them into apes. So, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that this story is a lesson for all people until the day of judgment. Now, in order for us to gain an understanding of these ayat, let's look at the story in a little bit more depth, looking at the specific verses that mention the breaking of the Sabbath. The first mentioning of this story is found in Surah Al-Baqarah, Surah number 2, ayah number 65. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وَلَقَدْ عَلِمْتُمُ الَّذِينَ اَعْتَدَوْا مِنْكُمْ فِي السَّبْتِ فَقُلْنَا كُونُوا قِرَدَةً خَاسِئِينَ Allah says, and certainly you know those of you who violated the Sabbath, whereupon we said to them, be dejected apes. Now what's interesting is that Surah Al-Baqarah is a Madani Surah, meaning that there is a vibrant Jewish community in Medina. What's interesting is that if you look at the biography of the Prophet, we don't have any reports that the Jews of Medina objected to the story. Meaning, it was something that was very well known to them. If this was something that was fabricated and something that was just introduced by the Prophet, they would have said, Muhammad, what are you talking about? This is false. This is an inaccurate presentation of our history. But none of them object to this. This is something that is known that happened in their history. And then Allah says in ayah number 66, فَجَعَلْنَاهَا نَكَالًا لِمَا بَيْنَ يَدَيْهَا We made it an example for those who were there. وَمَا خَلْفَهَا And we made it an example for those who are to come later. وَمَوْعِظَةً لِلْمُتَّقِينَ The story of the Sabbath breakers is an admonishment for all pious people, for all muttaqeen. Now, Surah Al-Baqarah doesn't give us details. It just gives us a snapshot of the incident. If we want more details, we have to go to Surah Al-A'raf. Surah Al-A'raf gives us more details. So if we go to Surah Al-A'raf, Surah number 7, Ayah number 163. And I urge all of you, brothers and sisters, to follow along with these verses. In Surah Al-A'raf, verse 163, Allah says, وَاسْأَلْهُمْ عَنِ الْقَرْيَةِ الَّتِي كَانَتْ حَاضِرَةَ الْبَحْرِ. Now, not only is the Quran telling us about this incident, the Quran is telling the Muslims, ask the Jews, ask Bani Israel about this. They know this story very well. And ask them about the town that was by the sea. وَاسْأَلْهُمْ عَنِ الْقَرْيَةِ قَرْيَةَ means town. الَّتِي كَانَتْ حَاضِرَةَ الْبَحْرِ. Ask them about the town that was by the sea. And of course, the narrations and even the biblical sources tell us that this was the town of Ayla, right? It was a town of fishermen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He then says, إِذْ يَعْدُونَ فِي السَّبْتِ. When they transgressed the Sabbath. إِذْ يَعْدُونَ السَّبْتِ. إِذْ تَأْتِيهِمْ حِيْتَانُهُمْ يَوْمَ سَبْتِهِمْ شُرَّعًا. On the day of their Sabbath, the fish, they come, and the fish, they basically pop their heads out of the water. It's as though the fish are taunting them, that, you know, you can't catch us. You're not allowed to fish. So the sea would be overflowing with fish. وَيَوْمَ لَا يَسْبِتُونَ لَا تَأْتِيهِمْ. On Saturday, on the day of the Sabbath, you don't even need to fish. You can see the fish floating on the surface. It's so easy to grab them. And when it wasn't the Sabbath, there's no fish. There's nothing. They would fish from dawn all the way until dusk. There's nothing. كَذَلِكَ نَبْلُوهُمْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَفْسُقُونَ. Allah says, thus did we give them a trial because they were defiantly disobedient. Allah was, He wanted to test them. Then we come to Ayah 164. وَإِذْ قَالَتْ أُمَّةٌ مِّنْهُمْ. One of the things that we find about the Qur'an is that the Qur'an is very impartial and objective. There are certain ayat where Allah praises some of the pious Jews for condemning their brethren for violating the Sabbath. وَإِذْ قَالَتْ أُمَّةٌ مِّنْهُمْ لِمَ تَعِظُونَ قَوْمًا اللَّهُ مُهْلِكُهُمْ أَوْ مُعَذِّبُهُمْ عَذَابًا شَدِيدًا. When a group of them said, why do you advise a people whom Allah is about to destroy or punish with a severe punishment? From this ayah, we know that there were those who violated the Sabbath. But there was also a group in the community that was condemning that behavior, that was speaking out against them. And there's a third group. There's a third group that's telling them, why are you bothering? Why even bother to advise these people? So from this ayah, we understand in the town of Ayla, there are three groups. There are the Sabbath breakers, those who are putting in their fishing nets on Friday and then they're retrieving the fish on Sunday, the Sabbath breakers. There are the admonishers, those who are seeing munkar and they're doing nahi anil munkar. And then there's a third. The third group is what? We can call them the mind your business group. Mind your business. Leave them alone. Why should you advise them? It's none of our business. So the Sabbath breakers, the admonishers, and the neutral party. The neutral party. Where there's haram being committed, it's none of my business. So look at what the Quran says. So now when this neutral party tells the admonishers, why are you bothering yourself with admonishing these people? Allah is going to punish them. You know, sometimes when people commit haram, they say, why? Just leave. Allah will deal with them. Yes, I know Allah will deal with them, but Allah will also deal with me if I don't fulfill my responsibility of nahi anil munkar. So what does the Quran say? When these people who are doing nahi anil munkar, when the admonishers are being questioned about why they are doing this, قَالُوا مَعْذِرَةً إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ وَلَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَّقُونَ They give two reasons. Reason number one why we are doing nahi anil munkar is مَعْذِرَةً إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ So that we can be absolved before Allah. Because if we don't, Allah is going to question us. Why were you silent when my laws were being violated? You're not allowed to be indifferent when there's corruption. You have to speak out when sin is being committed. وَلَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَّقُونَ And maybe our advice will have an effect. Yes, we might not be able to change everyone's mind, but maybe one or two will awaken their conscience, will awaken them from this state of heedlessness. So then what does Allah say in Ayah 165? فَلَمَّا نَسُوا مَا ذُكِّرُوا بِهِ And when they disregarded what they were reminded of. The Sabbath breakers, they were being admonished. Allah says when they disregarded the reminder and the advice, Allah says, أَنْجَيْنَا الَّذِينَ يَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ السُّوءِ وَأَخَذْنَا الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا بِعَذَابٍ بَئِيسٍ بِمَا كَانُوا يَفْسُقُونَ Allah says, I saved one group. There's only one group that I saved. أَنْجَيْنَا الَّذِينَ يَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ السُّوءِ Allah says, I saved those who were forbidding evil. They were the ones who were saved. Now, what's the implication when Allah says, I saved those who forbid evil? That means who was punished? The Sabbath breakers were punished, and the ones who were neutral. It's none of my business. Allah says, you're included in the punishment. Because your silence made you complicit. Now when I read this verse, I think to myself, look how severe the punishment was against those who were silent when certain people were fishing on a day that Allah did not allow them to fish. Imagine today where genocide is being committed and there is silence. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there are some people on the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will group them with Benjamin Netanyahu. Ilahi, I did not give the command to bomb Gaza. Allah will say, you were silent. You're with Benjamin Netanyahu. You're with Biden. You're with all of these people because of your silence. Because you said, oh, Allah will deal with them. No, you have a duty. You have a responsibility. You cannot be indifferent. You cannot be neutral. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَمَّا نَسُوا مَا ذُكِّرُوا بِهِ When they disregarded what they were reminded of, أَنْجَيْنَا الَّذِينَ يَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ السُّوءِ وَأَخَذْنَا الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا And we seized the oppressors. The oppressors are the Sabbath breakers and those who are neutral. We seize them with a severe punishment. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in ayah 166, فَلَمَّا عَتَوْ عَمَّا نُهُوا عَنْ. So when they were defiant and insolent about that which they had been prohibited, قُلْنَا لَهُمْ كُونُوا قِرِدَةً خَاسِئِينَ. Allah then said to them, be dejected apes. Now some will look at this verse and say, this verse is an anti-Semitic verse in the Quran. And they'll point, for example, to Surah Al-Jumu'ah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ حُمِّلُوا التَّوْرَاةَ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَحْمِلُوهَا كَمَثَلِ الْحِمَارِ يَحْمِلُ أَسْفَارًا. Well, this is another anti-Semitic verse. No, the Quran is not anti-Semitic. The Quran is anti-corruption. The Quran also condemns Muslims when they don't behave properly. In the battle of Uhud, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala condemns the Muslims. مِنْكُمْ مَنْ يُرِيدُ الدُّنْيَا وَمِنْكُمْ مَنْ يُرِيدُ الْآخِرَةِ. Allah doesn't have a personal relationship with anybody. If you do wrong, Allah will call you out. It's not about Jewish, Muslim, Christian. In fact, Allah in the story of the Sabbath breakers, He actually praises some of the Jews for speaking out against those who violated the Sabbath. No. There are verses in the Quran where Allah praises some of the Christians, where Allah praises some of the Jews, and there are verses where Allah condemns some of them, just like He condemns the Muslims. In Surah Al-Jumu'ah, yes, there's an ayah that condemns Bani Israel, but at the end of the surah, there's an ayah where Allah condemns the Muslims. وَإِذَا رَأَوْ تِجَارَةً أَوْ لَهْوًا انْفَضُّوا إِلَيْهَا وَتَرَكُوكَ قَائِمًا. Allah condemns the Muslims that when they see things being sold in the marketplace, they leave the Prophet. Allah criticizes anyone who acts unjustly, who is corrupt, who undermines His laws. Now, what is the meaning of this ayah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the Sabbath breakers, كُونُوا قِرِدَةً خَاسِئِينَ, be dejected apes. Is this a physical, a literal physical transformation, or is it something that is figurative? Now, there are a number of interpretations when it comes to this ayah. There are some mufassirin, and they're the minority. And when I say minority, I'm talking about like 1%. The minority, they say that, no, this is just figurative. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is basically saying that your souls are now like the souls of apes. Because apes, you know, sometimes they have this kind of deceptive nature. Allah is changing their souls. And it's not, there was no physical transformation. However, the majority of Quranic commentators, they say, no, this was a literal transformation. It was a metamorphosis that took place. You know, there's an interesting comment by Mullah Sadra. He says that there's no need for us to interpret this figuratively. He says, the human body, and listen very carefully to this, it's very insightful. Mullah Sadra and even Sayyid Abdul A'la al-Sabzawari, who was the marji after Sayyid al-Khu'i, he lived very shortly and then he passed away. A number of scholars, even Ayatollah Jawadi Amuli, they say that the human body is subordinate to the soul. For example, the conditions of the soul have an effect on the body. So for example, when we experience the emotion of anger, when a person is angry, in reality, anger is something that is experienced first at the level of the soul. And this this emotion, this feeling, this experience that the soul is having, which is anger, is manifested in the body by, for example, the person's face becoming red and their blood pressure goes up. So here you have something that is happening to the soul that is expressing itself through the body. Joy is the same way. You feel happiness. This is something that is felt in the soul. And then you smile, for example. So you have these physical effects originating in the soul. So some scholars, they say, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Kunu qiridatan khasi'in," He is basically commanding their physical bodies to match their souls. Meaning, when a person defies the laws of God, it has an effect on your soul. When a person defiantly disobeys Allah Azza wa Jal, it affects the soul in a way whereby your humanness becomes diminished. And because the Sabbath breakers knew the law of God, and it's not that they were ignorant, they were defying the law of God. They were trying to outsmart Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They were not heedless when they were being advised. When they committed this act, something changed in their souls. Now normally, the appearance of our souls becomes our external appearance in the hereafter. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as a punishment for them, He made their physical bodies reflect the nature of their souls. And the reason why the Quran says that this is a lesson for all people, Allah is saying that the Sabbath breakers, I transformed them into apes because that was the nature of their souls. Because they engage in this deception and this trickery. Don't think that this is not going to happen to you on Yawm al-Qiyamah. On the Day of Judgment, you have to pray to Allah that you are resurrected as a human being. Some of us, we look human, but we don't behave like human beings. We don't have the qualities of true human beings. And I'll mention this final hadith. Abu Basir, one of the companions of Imam al-Baqir and Imam al-Sadiq. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. He says, I was with Imam al-Baqir during Hajj. Many of you have heard the story. Abu Basir, he was blind, but he could hear that during Tawaf, there's a lot of noise and there's a lot of, you know, racket. And so in the Tawaf, he says to Imam al-Baqir, Ya ibn Rasulullah, Ma akthar al-hajij wa a'zam al-dhajij. He says to the Imam that it seems that there are a lot of hajjaj. There are a lot of pilgrims. And there's so much noise. فَقَالَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ Imam al-Baqir, he says, قَالَ بَلْ مَا أَكْثَرُ الضَّجِيجِ وَأَقَلُّ الْحَجِيجِ The Imam says, rather, there is a lot of noise, but very few pilgrims, very few hajjaj. So Abu Basir was confused. What do you mean there's a lot of noise, but very few hujjaj? The Imam says, أَتُحِبُّ أَن تَعْلَمَ صِدْقُ مَا أَقُولُهُ وَتَرَاهُ عَيَانًا Imam al-Baqir says, do you want me to show you what I mean? Abu Basir says, Ibn Rasulullah, I'm blind. How can I see? The narration says, فَمَسَحَ يَدَهُ عَلَىٰ عَيْنَيْهِ. The hadith says that Imam, he wiped his hands on the eyes of Abu Basir. وَدَعَى بِدَعَوَاتِ. Abu Basir says, I heard the Imam reciting some du'as. فَعَادَ بَصِيرًا. He says, suddenly I could see. Listen to what Abu Basir says. فَقَالُ انظُرْ. Imam al-Baqir said to me, O Abu Basir, look around. So he says, I looked in front of me. We were doing tawaf. فَإِذَا أَكْثَرُ النَّاسِ قِرَدَ وَخَنَازِيرَ. Allahu Akbar. He says, I looked, we're doing tawaf around the Kaaba. And I saw that the majority of people were not even human beings. They were apes and pigs. Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam, through Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's power, I was able to see the reality of people's souls. They're not human beings. And then he says, وَالْمُؤْمِنُ بَيْنَهُمْ مِثْلُ الْكَوْكَبِ اللَّامِعِ فِي الظَّلْمَاءِ. He says, among these animals, I was able to see a small number of mu'mineen who were like stars among this crowd. They were filled with, they were beaming with light. فَقَالَ أَبُو بَصِيرٌ صَدَقْتُ. I said to Imam al-Baqir, you are right. صَدَقْتَ يَا مَوْلَايِ مَا أَقَلُّ الْحَجِيجِ وَأَكْثَرُ الضَّجِيجِ. Indeed, there are very few hujjaj, and there's just a lot of noise. My dear brothers and sisters, in this month, in the month of Ramadan, the best thing that we can do is to avoid the muharramat, to avoid the sins. Because every sin has a real effect on our souls. It diminishes our humanness. What makes us human beings is our aql. And the most irrational thing that you can do is disobey God. That's the most irrational thing that you can do. So in this month, inshallah, let's make an effort to regain our humanness by submitting to the Lord of the worlds, and to refrain from the things that He has forbidden. And that is the lesson of the story. That Allah says, I turned the Sabbath breakers into apes, but don't think that this is just an isolated incident. No, no, no. I did to them what I will do to all human beings on the Day of Judgment. I will make their physical appearances a reflection of the nature of their souls. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين.